were cooking with evil gas.
Catapult the propaganda.
Industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. We're happy you're here with us today. Today's Monday, the 8th of January.
And boy, there are gases and fluids flying all over the place.
It's gas aplenty across the United States.
We've got gases in New York, gases in Houston. We've got plastic explosives in Miami.
We've got dead birds in Austin,
Texas. Gases leaking even here in Missouri.
Oil leaking in Mobile. Things leaking in right here in Missouri. You're right, not here personally in Missouri, but in Blue Springs on the other side of the state. Near Kansas City.
Obviously, there's something's ripped a hole in the very fabric of space and time that's causing all these leakages. Don't know what's going on here, but we'll try to make some sense of it over the next half an hour.
We will indeed. If you do not know what we're talking about, did you sleep through the news today? It was all over the mainstream media. The irony, of course, is, and you who listen to PID Radio know that this is something that happens all the time, is while they follow the story minute by minute, second by second, movement by movement, frame by frame, the minute someone said, oh, well, this is the answer. Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. The major media makes a practice of taking press releases and running with them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of stopping and asking the obvious questions, or at least some more probing questions.
Let's probing put it that way. Questions, exactly.
And that's why we talk to people like Doug Hagman at the Northeast Intelligence Network, Laura Mansfield, and others who have information that sheds some real light on what's going on out there.
You know, it seems to me that the mainstream media is more about voyeurism than they are about journalistic reporting.
That's an excellent way of putting it. It's like watching, it's reality television is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we keep hearing about what Donald Trump said and what Rosie O'Donnell said. Who cares? Who cares?
I really don't care. The only reason I follow any of that is if it's related to some of the stuff we talk about on PID Radio.
Yeah. And, let's dive into some of the big stories of the day. Obviously, the one that the media seemed really preoccupied with was the situation down at Miami, at which
has its roots in what happened yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You talked with Doug Hagman. Tell the story.
Well, I talked with Doug Hagman about this, and there was a truck stopped at the port of Miami yesterday because the driver was acting in a suspicious manner and didn't have a correct manifest for what was on his truck. The truck driver, by the way, was a 20-year-old man from Iraq in the country legally.
Mm-hmm.
There were two other men in the truck hiding, apparently, in the sleeper compartment of the cab. One was from Iraq, one was from Lebanon. After the FBI was called in, a news conference was called, and it was announced that it was all a misunderstanding based on language barrier. Now, Doug Hagman, not one to take such information at face value, did some digging with some of his law enforcement contacts and learned that there was an ongoing investigation at the Port of Miami because it appeared that what was on the truck was not the target of the investigation, but it was what the truck was there to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
The truck was there to take delivery of something. And so a search was ongoing at the Port of Miami.
Well, let me just ask you this. Those three guys were not detained.
They were not detained.
They are still on their own.
Yes.
Someplace.
Mm-hmm. Like the suspicious truck in South Dakota that was stopped, and we'll talk about that in just a little
bit. The guys with the cell phones up in Detroit.
And the guys in the cell phones in Detroit, right. Many cases that have taken place. It turns out, incidentally, that the Iraqi man driving the truck was from Dearborn, Michigan, which is the center of a very large Iraqi and Middle Eastern population.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other men, the other Iraqi man in the truck, did not have any identification on him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now, what is interesting is that before we move on to the events today at Miami, the truck, the container portion of the truck the trailer portion of the truck was shown in most of the media on the, what he said, the driver's side. You were seen from the driver's side. When the AP today showed one picture of the passenger side, the curb side of the truck, you saw that it was a container belonging to P&O, as in P&O Ports, as in Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company, the company that was bought out by Dubai Ports World.
Yes.
Dubai Ports World, which was supposed to divest itself of its American port holdings.
So we've said this before. They have not yet.
They have.
They keep saying, well,
not.
We're trying to find a buyer. And mm-hmm. In the meanwhile, we're just kind of sitting back. And they said they were letting somebody else operate it for mm-hmm. now, but that's not true.
No. P&O Ports is 50% owner of the Port of Miami Terminal Operating Company. This information, again, from Doug Hagman at Northeast Intelligence Network, which operates the only multi-user container facility at the Port of Miami. So that was yesterday. Today, of course, you probably saw in the news that there was a bomb squad called to the port, and that a suspicious package was exploded, something found on a pallet, which was due to be loaded onto a Royal Caribbean International mm-hmm. Majesty of the Seas cruise ship, 812-member crew, 2,356 passengers on board. This package apparently tested positive 6 times for the military-grade explosive C4, a plastic explosive. Not known whether there was actually any explosive on it. When they blew it up, the detonation didn't look very big. But Doug said that his contacts and his experience tells him that 6 positive tests or hits on this was not an accident. Mm-hmm. You don't get 6 false positives, in other words. So that was what was happening at the Port of Miami. Now, I have to wonder, though, was this what the truck was there to pick up? I don't think so.
This smells like a shell game.
It does. It does, and it may be that while this is happening, that investigations are still ongoing at the Port of Miami.
I hope they are. At the same time, Los Angeles Port mm-hmm. was really tightening up security, according to Xinhua, and they said it was because of what was happening in Miami-Dade. My question to you is, does Dubai run the L.A. port?
The Port of Long Beach is not... under the
is
control.
That Long Beach that's at L.A.? That's
yeah.
not a separate port? Because I know Long Beach is actually under the Chinese jurisdiction, which may be why it was at Xinhua.
That's very possible. But I think the Port of Los Angeles is actually Long Beach. But I'm not 100% certain of that.
We'll do some research on that. If we don't get it before the end of the podcast, we will put it in the show notes
right.
later.
So while that was going on, of course, this morning, the big news out of New York was the smell of mercaptan, which is the odor that's added to natural gas mm-hmm. in order to allow us to detect when natural gas mm-hmm. is leaking. Natural gas is odorless.
Mm-hmm.
And without the mercaptan added, it would, you could have a leak and never know it until it ignited.
Well, it was either last year or the year before. I think it may have been 2 years ago that New York experienced that super sweet, syrupy smell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was all over the place. And it was prevalent for days, in fact. And oddly enough, no one really complained about that because they said it smelled like, you know, someone's baking or something. It smelled great. The mercaptan, of course, smells awful. It's a sulfur smell. Sulfur smell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I saw an interview this morning, a press conference with Michael Bloomberg, and I was ready to, if I had been a reporter at that news conference, I would have called him down so badly, but he was essentially barking at anybody who questioned his prepared statement. And the prepared statement was, we see no change in levels of gas at the utilities. We've looked for a leak. There was a tiny leak at one section that's been taken care of. We don't think there's a gas leak. We think somehow there's a mercaptan leak.
Yeah. Well, I know that there were broadcast operations, which, you know, affected our station, that shut down their New York operations mm-hmm. and told their people to leave. We carry the Glenn Beck program, which is normally broadcast from Radio City, New York. He happened to be in Los Angeles today, and there was a 20-minute time period where they played an old monologue of his in order to give the studio in Los Angeles time to transfer operations there. All the phone banks and everything had to be mm-hmm. switched over to Los Angeles. And the New York people were told to get out of town.
Well, kudos to him for having his people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the only one doing that. As you said, there were a number of,
right.
of businesses that were just spilling into the streets. They did not want to be caught in a building that might blow up.
Sure, absolutely. So that was happening today. And to this point, we still don't have any firm information as to what exactly took place in New York. So we're still waiting to hear about that.
Well, let me just, before we leave this. First of all, Bloomberg really bothered me because he seemed derelict of his job at making people feel safe. His attitude was dismissive. And at the same time, the utilities were not quite telling the same story that he was.
Mm.
So there was, at least for me, and I don't even live in New York City, nowhere close to it, there was a real disease in my spirit about the whole thing. Now, the other thing I want to mention with regard to this is over the last couple of years, we have seen a number of stories that Stan Deo has been talking about,
mm-hmm.
about sulfur smells.
Good point.
Throughout the United
yes.
States.
Uh-huh.
There are some who even go so far as to say that the continental plate is cracking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. I mean, there were so many incidents regarding that, two summers ago. There was even Indianapolis, Indiana, that kept having manholes popping up in
right,
the air.
The exploding manhole
because there
covers,
was so yeah. much pressure being released underground that wasn't coming from underground gas lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be if it is not terror-related or a mercaptan spill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mercaptan spill. That's something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, and we do know, historically, this is not tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, that the U.S. government has been involved in testing the dispersal rate of aerosols in
mm-hmm.
New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Other
they
cities
have
as well.
Sniffers along the streets, that
mm-hmm.
you know, electronic ones, that they can tell what is passing and when and how long it takes to go from A to B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the time the alarm goes off, well, you're already dead.
Well, exactly. And what's so bothersome about this today is there was event after event after event after
right.
event in different parts of the country. And at the very least, I was sitting there thinking, good heavens, if something real were to be happening, real terrorism,
mm-hmm.
were to be happening at each of these events, this country would have just gone bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, because while this was going on, of course, there was the leak at the Nalco chemical plant in Sugar Land, Texas,
yes.
which is just a little bit southwest of Houston. Back in my previous career as a steel pipe salesman, we had plenty of customers in Sugar Land, in that area. There are an awful lot of chemical and oil refining facilities in that area. The leak of the chemical was, an ethylene compound?
Ethylene dialine.
People were being told to shelter in place, basically close up your house, turn off your air conditioning unit, which in January, well, of course, in
they're
Texas, South Texas,
okay,
probably
but...
okay. But, you know, things like that happen down there more often than I would feel comfortable with if we lived there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was going on while the bomb squad was working in Miami, while security was being tightened at the Port of Los Angeles, which incidentally is next door to the Port of Long Beach. They're not to be... You know,
okay, they're two separate.
They are two separate
I thought
ports.
They were two separate ones.
That is correct.
And at the same time, we had an oil spill take place in Mobile, Alabama. That may have been not connected in any way.
Right.
But again, it was, you know, I was doing searches for a spill, and I was getting all these hits in various parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far outside of Kansas City, Blue Springs, Missouri, as we mentioned earlier, right here in our home state. There was a chemical spill.
Right.
A chemical spill?
It was a gas leak.
Gas leak. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was a house fire and a gas leak, and about a four-block area was
mm-hmm.
Evacuated. That appears to have just been...
I think that was just one of those things that happens occasionally.
Right.
But it shows the level of sensitivity that the media had at the time. Almost a knee-jerk, let's look, like I was. I was
mm-hmm.
Googling for spill on the news, and I think they were doing something similar. Anything that was coming up, they were talking about and connecting. Now,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. To me, it's one of three things.
Okay.
Either it's a big test to see how the media and how the government responds to a lot of things going on at the same time. A coordinated test by an enemy faction.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it was a total red herring to keep our minds off something else going on in the news.
Okay.
Or three, it was indeed a test, but not by a terrorist or enemy faction, but by someone within our own government to see how the people respond and to ratchet up fear as we approach Wednesday night's presidential speech
on Iraq.
When he talks about Iraq.
Yeah. That is a... I think you may have covered the three main possibilities.
Well, I suppose there's four. It could be nothing.
Well, just coincidence.
We don't believe that, do we?
No, it takes more faith to believe in coincidences than it does.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So while that was going on in the United States, there are some other things that have been happening involving the United States and politically that we need to touch on. The Sunday Times broke a story, which was picked up by Fox News and then totally ignored by the media today, that Israel is drawing up plans to bomb Iran's uranium enrichment facilities with low-yield nuclear bunker busters.
Yes.
This is a big deal. This would be the first use, if Israel were to go through with this, the first use of nuclear weapons, if you don't count depleted uranium, nuclear weapons since 1945.
You know, thinking about this, perhaps Olmert's slip that Israel is a nuclear power was intentional.
That's a very good point. Olmert's comment last week, or week before last.
It was week before last, I think.
Was the first public admission by an Israeli government official that they possess nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's an open secret.
Exactly. And now, of course, they are publicly denying that they have any intention of this. But it was recommended by a think tank that they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there is a rumor that they actually have a plan in place to do it.
Right. The Sunday Times is quoting an unnamed source,
mm-hmm.
as saying that...
Well, I could quote an unnamed source.
Well, that's true. That's true. But
Murphy used to tell me things that you wouldn't believe.
the plans, according to the Sunday Times, were disclosed to them last week, prompted in part by the Israeli intelligence service Mossad's assessment that Iran is on the verge of producing enough enriched uranium to make nuclear weapons within 2 years. The source told the Sunday Times, as soon as the green light is given, it will be one mission, one strike, and the Iranian nuclear project will be demolished, end quote. The Israeli military apparently thinks that conventional strikes would not be effective because some of Iran's facilities are under 70 feet of concrete and rock. Now, this leads back to the Divine Strike test that the U.S. has been trying to do since last June.
So are they going to test it out for us?
Well, they may not wait for a test. We've been... Test in air quotes. I missed the air quotes. Sorry.
Sorry, didn't do them. Oh, that was just a test.
So that is the word that came out of Britain Sunday. Fox News picked it up again. I didn't hear word one about it on MSNBC or CNN today.
Not a word. I watched them all day.
No. Hannity didn't talk about it at all. He was too busy talking about, you know...
Hannity.
Yeah. My new show last night with Cindy Sheehan. Okay. Meanwhile, President Bush appears to be ready to stake his entire presidency on the surge that he's planning.
Yeah. You know, semantics, I guess they really are important, and he's using that term surge intentionally because I guess in my mind, first of all, I'd like to know what it translates to in Arabic. But second of all, and we can ask Laura Mansfield that, or you can next time you speak with her. But to me, it implies something that just takes place briefly and then pulls right back.
Yeah.
It's not an escalation.
Right. Yeah, we're not escalating. Yeah, we're sending 20,000 more guys over there, but it's only a surge. It's not an escalation.
Mm-hmm.
The shakeup in military leaders there, according to analysts that we read, indicate that this is part of the plan. Bush really doesn't have anything to lose at this point. And I went on the air this afternoon and said that things couldn't possibly be going worse in Iraq. And I had a caller take issue with me because we're not losing as many American soldiers there as we were even in Vietnam.
Well, sadly, they could also always go worse.
Right. And my point was that from the public public perception is that things could not be going worse.
I think that's true.
Yeah. With regard to what victory ultimately looks like in Iraq. And we're not sure quite what that is, because that's never really been defined for us. Defeating the enemy. Well, the fact is that the Iraqi people lost, oh, golly, what was the total I saw? The Iraqi population lost...
like 12,000 or something. No, more than that.
In the last part of last year, yeah, I highlighted
35,000, 30,000. It was about 3,000 a month.
Yeah, considerably more than American soldiers. Yes, we crossed over the 3,000 threshold. Yes, we lost considerably more soldiers in Vietnam. And from that standpoint, if that were our gauge, body count, yes, things could be going worse. But from the standpoint of public perception, from the president's perspective, things can't get much worse. So what he's doing is staking his presidency on success. If he fails, if the surge doesn't work, it's like, okay, well, I gave it my best shot. It didn't work. If it does work, he comes out looking like a hero.
Very true. You know, along this line, let me just say, today at Watcher Magazine, I found this really interesting op-ed piece at opednews.com by Nick Terse, and his title is Pentagon to Cities Drop Dead. And you know, when you read a long opinion piece, it's very possible to read it and really not come away with what the writer was intending to write. Just like today, you made a statement, a very brief one, and you had a listener that didn't quite get what you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily your fault. You know, we bring things to the table when we hear them, when we read them. If I understand what he's saying here correctly, he's saying that we knew all along we were going into urban warfare in Baghdad. It was not a surprise. They keep pretending like it's a big shock. We didn't know we were going to have this kind of fighting. We weren't prepared for this. He asserts that we knew we were going into it. This is exactly what we prepared for, and we intend for this to happen, not only in Baghdad, but elsewhere.
You know, that really makes a lot of sense. During the Clinton administration, there were a number of articles that appeared in WorldNet Daily, especially in WorldNet Daily, talking about Marines engaging in training sessions in towns, usually mm-hmm. small towns in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is what they were training for.
Well, you
duh.
And I, duh is right. I have had an acquaintance a few years ago before you and I met, shortly before you and I met, and he is a Navy guy. He was a commander in the Navy, and he was an engineer whose job was to coordinate communication between the Screwtops and the Aegis ships.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked, and of course he didn't tell me anything that was, you know, blowing some super secret, but he made it very clear that they were going to various coastal cities, Alabama, along the eastern seaboard, and they were coordinating urban assaults
mm-hmm.
using those Screwtops in the ships.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're doing over there. That's exactly what we will do in Iran.
Yeah. If we, in fact, invade, and the next part of the Bush plan, staking his presidency on what's happening over
mm-hmm.
there.
Exactly. By the way, he was involved in an operation at the time that TWA 800 went down.
Oh, he was. This friend of yours?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't talk about that very often, and I frankly, he was an acquaintance.
Uh-huh.
Not someone I knew terribly well. And I can't draw any conclusions. I can't,
uh-huh.
you know, no, I can't even go there. But I will say that, yeah, it's not a secret. We knew the Navy was there doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who think that 800 was brought down by friendly fire.
Yeah.
Accidental friendly fire.
Yeah. The White House, in addition to shuffling the leadership in Iraq, the military leadership, we've got a new commander of CENTCOM. Admiral William J. Fallon has taken over for General John Abizaid. We've got new commanders on the ground in Iraq. We've also deployed now the USS John C. Stennis, which we talked about last week, that carrier group. There's also a report that the USS Ronald Reagan and its group left San Diego on the 4th, headed for the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
The three amphibious assault groups, or amphibious assault ships based out of Norfolk, just sailed, apparently heading for the Persian Gulf. They took off on Saturday. The USS Bataan, the Shreveport, and the USS Oak Hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me add to that this curious story that I've seen percolating a couple of days now. about a plane that went down in Indonesia.
Okay.
Here's why I keep putting this story up here, and it isn't just because there's this tragedy of 102 people who have disappeared in a plane that crashed, probably. But it's presumed to be in the ocean. The United States is over there with our ships helping to look for this plane.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep sending ships.
Is
that the real reason those ships are there?
Off of Indonesia.
Off of Indonesia. These are metal detecting ships. My dad worked on a metal detecting ship in World War II.
Uh-huh.
They weren't looking for lost planes.
They were looking for mines.
Right.
Yeah. Minesweepers.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Hmm.
But it's connecting dots, and that's one of the jobs we take on here at PID
Radio. That's right.
That's right.
Well, whatever happens in the Persian Gulf, it looks like it's coming to a head soon, and it looks like that's we may be trying to help Ahmadinejad fulfill his prophecy of something happening by the spring equinox.
You know,
we're going to have over 20,000 sailors, marines, and pilots either in the Gulf, Persian Gulf or on their way to the Persian Gulf here by the time you hear this podcast.
That very well could be. And, you know, if you know of anything, if you have friends who are being deployed, if you know of ships that are being deployed from your area, just send us a note, because these things don't necessarily get public announcements.
Mm. No. It's going to be... Well, these are interesting times in
which
we live.
Right, right. And let me just clarify
that
I don't want to... My reason for wanting to know that information isn't so I can list every ship and every sailor who is out there. I think that's just... That's ridiculous.
We are patriots.
We are patriots.
And you know what? I want to make this clear. I pray that whatever we are doing in Iraq does result in a stable, peaceful country where people, average people, can raise their kids in security and peace.
Amen.
I'm pessimistic. I just don't see how.
Well, here's what really strikes me, and there's an opinion piece that's going to be on Watcher Magazine tomorrow that talks about nationalism versus multiculturalism. It's really a profound piece, and I started thinking about that today, and I see we're running out of time, so I'll hurry up with this. But we talk about people crossing the border. The fact is the United States is multicultural, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a real sense of wanting to just sort of be nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just this, can we just be self-reliant? Can we grow our own stuff, make our own things in our own factories so we don't have to be so geopolitical? But what right do we have to go into their backyards and say they can't come into ours?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I know. I'm not happy saying that, because I'm not crazy about illegals coming in here, and it has nothing to do with the people. It's simply,
and we hate to
come in legally, folks.
Yeah, I agree. And, the one big unreported story or underreported story from last week that should have been shouted from the top, which we talk about, was the National Guard troop, the National Guard unit that was overrun by drug runners down along the Arizona-Mexico border last week.
We need to find out more about that and report
that
on that.
That is just absolutely outrageous.
But there's good news. We're going to close with a little good news, folks.
Yes?
If you crave a pizza in Dallas, Texas, you can find a use for those pesos that you brought back with you from your Mexican vacation.
Yeah. What is it? I had a note to talk about this on the show today, and it got away from me. The some pizza place in Texas.
Yeah.
Dallas, they're trying to cater to their base, their Latin base, and so they're going to accept pesos. Good on them. And the exchange rate is probably going in their favor as time goes by anyway.
Well, if you want to send us a note or a peso, send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
Or you can drop in at the forum and exchange thoughts and ideas there, peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
Well, honey, I see the clock's going. We got to get out of here.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
ID Radio.